You're listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. Our podcast has a special honor to celebrate this month. For the entire month of July, we are featured in the Alaska Airlines magazine called Alaska Beyond as one of their favorite family travel podcasts. That means that each and every traveler will find a shining picture of me and a little blurb about Miles to Go in the back of their seatback pocket on every single Alaska Airlines flight. That's a pretty awesome honor from where I sit, and we're pretty excited about it. So to celebrate, I'm going to be giving away a $100 Amazon gift card to one lucky listener of the show. To be entered, you just need to grab a copy of the Alaska Beyond magazine this month when you're on an Alaska Airlines flight and take a selfie with it. Tweet that picture to me at Pizza in Motion with the hashtag Alaska Pizza, and I will select one winner at the end of July. We love bringing you guys the best in travel news each and every week, but we need your help to be able to keep doing it. If you're enjoying the show, please, please, please tell a friend, and please subscribe and rate the podcast in whatever app that you listen. You can find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. And you can find me writing each and every day at pizzainmotion.com. My email address, if you have questions or suggestions for the show, is ed@pizzainmotion.com. This week, we are talking about how to get to the Olympics in Tokyo in 2020. If you were lucky enough to score tickets to one of the events or have plans to do so, Summer from TPG Family is an Olympic travel veteran who's going to give us the scoop on how to win at Olympic travel to Tokyo next year. After that, Jen joins us again with an easy way to earn the Southwest Companion Pass going on right now. That is totally her wheelhouse, and the Companion Pass is the single greatest benefit offered by any U.S. airline, in my humble opinion. Also want to say a quick thanks to AutoSlash for sponsoring the Miles to Go podcast. If you have an upcoming car rental and you want to save money, because who doesn't? Make sure to check them out at autoslash.com. Summer is chomping at the bit to talk Olympics, so I won't delay us any longer. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, and we've got a new topic that we haven't covered yet because we are getting into Olympics season. And that means that I get to talk to my buddy Summer from TPG Family, the original Mommy Points. Hey, Summer.
Hi, I love it. Now, is there a new Mommy Points? Because I'm going to have words with this person.
No, I just want to make sure everybody knows, like, hashtag trademark, she is the original one only Mommy Points.
I love it.
and you are an Olympics fanatic. You've been how many so far? Two, three?
Yeah, I grew up like in the Mary Rettenlou days, obsessed with Olympic gymnastics. Not that I was any good, but I loved watching it. And so I think I got the Olympics bug when I was young. The first trip I ever planned was to the Atlanta Olympics in 1996. I was still a teenager living at home, but kind of worked with my dad to get us there, which was so exciting to see the Olympics in person. And then I have planned two Olympic trips since then, one to the London Games and then one to Sochi in Russia. And that one I backed down of at the last minute, and we can get to why. But so I've actually been to two, but I've planned trips to three.
Yeah, and I remember us talking about the Sochi stuff, and I do think there are some lessons there for folks in terms of making sure that you're covered, especially because, as I recall from our brief conversation on it, that you were sort of stuck on some expenses, like you'd already had your tickets, your Olympics event tickets selected when your hotel stuff went sideways.
Yeah. So when we talk a second about using points and miles to go to the 2020 games in Tokyo, definitely keep these lessons in mind. I was fully booked for Sochi and had event tickets, like you said, had everything you need. There was a lot of paperwork with that one. But my award reservations at a Radisson got pulled by the Olympic committee, so I was told, who needed the hotel. So I booked way in advance when the calendar first opened, thought I was a smarty pants using my points, and it didn't work out. And there was a lot of last minute construction still going on in Sochi, so there wasn't really anywhere to switch to at the last minute. So I just bailed out and flew and skied in Norway instead. So I still had a great time. but the lesson learned was the Olympic Committee can do strange things to reservations with hotels. So be careful.
Yeah, and I think things are a little different in Tokyo, though I've never booked for an Olympics. But, I mean, you've got a lot of established hotels there. So it's not I'm sure they're building some rooms for the Olympics, don't get me wrong. But I think based on my knowledge of that market, and then also, too, your post, which we'll link to on hotels that people can frequent for the Olympics, there's a lot of existing room inventory now. And you could still get bumped, as you say, but you could probably find alternate accommodations if you worked hard at it.
Definitely. I think you've got way more options in Tokyo and in Japan in general than you did in Russia. So yes, I think you're working with a better deck of cards planning a trip to the Tokyo Olympics than I was for Sochi, for sure.
And I don't know if you know this yet or not, but any idea how spread out the Olympics are in Tokyo proper? Should people be able to get to most of the venues from the traditional hotels that you and I know, like the Park Hyatt and stuff like that?
I can't say I have mapped out every venue yet, but I do think there's a lot that you'll be able to get to reasonably by staying in Tokyo. And we do have a long list of hotels that we're hoping pop open with award availability. So far, I'll tell you, we haven't had luck yet. We are now close enough into the games that Hyatt does have their award calendar open that long. The games are in July 2020. And since you can book 13 months out with Hyatt, you can technically go that far. But what we saw was the day before the games start, everything started being blacked out with Hyatt in Tokyo. Pretty soon, the other chains like Marriott and Hilton will hit their booking windows. So time will tell if they take the same approach or not. But it's definitely the time to start looking now. You're close enough with Hyatt already, and you will be with Hilton, Marriott, and the others by the end of July.
Yeah, and I think this is one of those things where, you know, points and miles can make a marked difference on planning a trip like this, in that for a lot of these things, you're either going to be able to cancel, say, an award booking with no penalty whatsoever on a lot of different hotel bookings. And then on airline tickets, you know, you may have penalties, no question, to cancel, redeposit and stuff like that. But as opposed to spending thousands and thousands of dollars and having something change at the last minute, not being able to go, I believe for something like this, trying to use points and miles gives people the most protection, if you will, from a risky scenario like you fell into it at Sochi.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, that'll be true with some of these airline awards too. You know, some airlines have lower and more generous cancellation and change fees than others, but some of them are really reasonable, even if you don't have elite status, especially with some of the international programs. So, you know, we're not quite to the booking window yet for airlines, but we're getting darn close. I mean, ANA, for example, and Air Canada, they let you book awards 355 days out, which is further out than you'll find with the U.S. programs by a couple weeks. So with a late July opening ceremony, that puts you, you know, extremely late July or very early August when you'll be able to start booking those airline awards. And like you said, if you're not 100% sure, then try to give preferential treatment to ones that have nicer change and cancellation penalties than others.
Yeah. And so for London and for Sochi, let's just touch real quickly on when you booked, because as I recall, you used different strategies for both of those. So you know, when did you book for London and wrap that trip up? And then when did you solidify your plans for Sochi?
Totally. I had completely opposite strategies, as you say. So London was kind of a last minute thing. We booked in the weeks leading up to it. British Airways actually had a really good cash sale in business class over to London that we jumped on. And then we got tickets at the last minute, hotels on points at the last minute. It all came together last minute successfully. And then Sochi, I was booking as far out as you can. and it all fell apart. So that's not to say it'll play that way for Japan. If I was actively trying to go to the games in Tokyo, I would be trying to book as far out as I could, because that's just what I usually do. But on the flip side, you know, pay attention. If it doesn't make sense for you to commit right now, maybe next June, you can take a peek at it and see if things can come together at the last minute as people's plans change.
Yeah, my typical experience with award inventory to Tokyo in the, you know, June, July timeframe hasn't been great when I've either looked for myself or for others. So I think folks should be aware that, especially if you're talking about premium cabin inventory for, you know, more than one person, that's the piece that you probably want to try and lock down sooner than later, because I think that'll be a bit of a sticky wicket. We do have some changes coming with the Haneda flight changes in the U.S. And so We did have a segment a few weeks ago where we had Seth from Wandering Arame and a PaxX.Aero on, and the strategy there was that we do think flights through Hawaii to Haneda are probably going to be ones that will have more availability, especially with ANA dumping some A380s on that route. So if you really want to go to the Olympics and you can't find, say, like the perfect nonstop, you may be able to do something unconventional like going through LA or Hawaii to get there to find that perfect Olympic ticket.
Which is really better anyway. I mean, there's nothing better than having a few days in Hawaii. I could talk Hawaii for years. So something like that's great. Or even if you're just getting to another point in Asia and maybe planning to do a vacation there anyway, and then you'll kind of decide later on if it makes sense to add Tokyo or not. There's a lot of options there. You don't have to go all in yet, but now's the time to start paying attention and seeing if, you know, the dominoes kind of line up in a way that it makes sense for you to go to the 2020 games.
Yeah, I've never been, and so I'm insanely jealous of your two trips. So are you you going to be shooting for Tokyo?
I don't think I am right now. I kind of already have some big trips penciled in for next summer, and I don't want to overcommit. But that being said, I think this time I'll take the strategy like I did for London. If it just happens to all line up closer in, then maybe I do. I love going. It's a really fun coming together of the world, and all those corny things that you probably think of with the Olympics are true when you go in person, and it's fun to root for your country. So I would love to go if it works out, but I don't think I'm going to go all in on planning this because we've got some other big trips already in the works for next summer. But if you do want to go and you don't already have tickets to the events themselves, if you're a U.S. resident, then your ticket reseller is called CoSport, C-O Sport. So they've already gone through their first round of ticket sales where you make requests and you don't know what you'll get. So what they'll be down to this summer now is just kind of selling what's left live. But the good thing about that is you know what you're buying when you buy it. So you can kind of see what the inventory is and make decisions.
Cool. Well, thanks for all the info. Hopefully that helps people get started down the road to the Olympics in Tokyo. Tell folks where they can track you down when you're not hopping on the podcast with me or trying to figure out how to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks again.
I'm so ready to do that. But otherwise, you can find me on Twitter at Mommy Points. That's M-O-M-M-Y Points. And the same handle on Instagram.
Awesome. Thanks a bunch for being on, Summer. Safe travels.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. This week's show is brought to you in part by AutoSlash. AutoSlash does one thing really, really well. They save you money on car rentals, and not just a little bit. They're always free to use, and there's two separate ways that they can help save you money. First off, if you start your booking process at autoslash.com, you'll enter in some key information, Costco membership, AAA, frequent flyer memberships, and they'll take all that information along with searching for any publicly available codes that you might not be aware of, and they'll find the best price for your specific car rental, which you can then go ahead and book. After you've booked, you can enter your car rental reservation into their tracking tool, and it will continue to track whether the price has gone down on your car rental or a new code becomes available that would save you more money. They'll notify you, and you'll be given the chance to rebook that reservation for less money. Even if you don't start the booking process with AutoSlash.com, if you booked it somewhere else, you could take your reservation number, key it into AutoSlash, and they will continue to track that reservation for free and let you know if the price goes down or if there's a discount code maybe you didn't know about right up until you pick the car up. tons of different ways to save money with AutoSlash. It's 100% free, always 100% free. Give it a try and drop me an email. Let me know what you think about it. You can find them at AutoSlash.com. Time for another It's a Big Deal segment here on the Miles to Go podcast. And if we're talking about deals and we're talking about Southwest, it's Jen from Deals We Like bringing back a deal that should help a bunch of folks get the companion pass. Hey, Jen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. And I'm really, really excited that Southwest just added a new credit card to their portfolio. I love it when new credit cards in general just get added anywhere. It's just another opportunity to apply and increase account balances and get more perks, and so many happy and giddy things come along with it.
Yeah. And I'm super stoked to be talking about Southwest again, because there's two reasons why I'm going to love putting the segment out. First is I got a question from a listener just a couple weeks ago while you and I were both on vacation. And she was asking a bunch of questions that we've already answered on the podcast. But it tells me that as we continue to attract new listeners to the show, that people are really interested in Southwest and they're interested in the companion pass. And so that's one reason why I want to make sure that we're covering this stuff for folks. And then the other thing is if folks got in on the one credit card sign up bonus to get an annual get a companion pass earlier in the year, this card with the 80,000 point bonus should be enough to get them the companion pass for next year, right?
Right. So about a year or more ago, Southwest or Chase started limiting you to just one personal credit card open in your account. Now, since the last card, if you applied for, was a personal card, this is now a business card. And since it's a business card, you'll be eligible to apply for this card in addition to the card you applied for earlier this year. So if you applied and got 30,000 points and now you're going to apply and get 80,000 points, that puts you exactly at the 110 point threshold, plus the points you'll earn for meeting the minimum spend. And all you need is 110,000 points for earning the Southwest Companion Pass. And that will get you it through December 31st of 2020.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things here. First off, this card does have an annual fee and it's a little bit higher than some of the other, cards out there. It's certainly not the highest at $199.
No.
I don't remember seeing from your post. Is it waived the first year or do you pay it right away?
It is not. Southwest is notorious for never waiving their fees, which is rare for Chase cards, but it's fine because it's $199, which is the highest Southwest credit card. You'll see the next card is, I believe, $149, and the rest of them are under $100. So this is definitely on the expensive side. But on a yearly basis, you will receive 9,000 Southwest bonus points, which is equivalent to like $125. So really, if you kind of think about it, you're not paying much for that annual fee.
No, and for me, I think some of the other benefits. So, like the card comes with Wi-Fi credits, and so for me at least, this is a huge benefit for me. I think that it's easy to make up the money on it. The global entry reimbursement, it comes with $100 global entry reimbursement, though that's the sort of thing that you only get once every 5 years.
Right.
But there's definitely a bunch of ways to make back that annual fee on this card, so that it's essentially a cost neutral or it pays for itself being in your wallet.
Absolutely. I mean, just the Wi-Fi credits alone for me, and anytime I fly Southwest, which is often, it's $8 because Southwest is not part of any of those other types of passes that you can buy to get free Wi-Fi, like the Go-Go, whatnot. So it adds up.
Yeah.
Definitely. And, there's no way, this might be on the gray line area, but there's no way that they'll know if you're actually flying in that flight. So if you get the card and a significant other or a child or another family member are flying and you feel comfortable, they can put the Wi-Fi on your Southwest credit card as well. And you can get up to 365 days of credits per year. So essentially every day they can credit you if you'd like. Don't abuse it. That would be my key. Don't abuse it. But like if mom or dad are flying, maybe you can gift them free Wi-Fi. Think about it that way.
Yeah. And the card also does come with some complimentary upgraded boarding positions. I haven't used one of these yet. They make me a little bit nervous since it's not early bird boarding that I can buy ahead of time to make sure I can keep the family together. I'd be a little nervous if I was traveling with my family of four that the flight might sell out in upgraded boarding positions, but I don't know what your experience has been with that.
I've never paid for the early bird or the upgraded boarding positions or any of that for my family. I've never spent a dollar. We just we chance it. But I also have kids that are under the threshold age, so we can go during family boarding, which is right after the aid position. So I'm definitely at an advantage point than you are.
Yes, you are. And I've grown out of it with Charlie being eight now, our youngest. We are officially out of that range. Yeah. So anyway, you know, you've got a bunch of benefits to this card that I think are you know, definitely worth the price of that annual fee for at least the first year or two, depending on where you go after that, because obviously if you did get that card earlier this year, scoring the companion pass for another year is worth, you know, well more than the $200 annual fee. Well,
absolutely. And quickly, for folks that are listening that maybe aren't aware of what the Southwest Companion Pass is essentially allows a friend or family member to fly with you for free, plus minimal taxes and fees, an unlimited number of times for the life of the pass. So like some other credit cards, Delta, you know, you get a companion pass, but it's a one-time usage. This is literally no strings attached. There just has to be one seat left for sale to add on your companion. If it's domestic, you pay $5.60 each way, and you can use it an unlimited number of times. It really is awesome.
Yeah, and Jenna is, you know, by far the biggest Southwest guru I know. So we'll include links in the show notes to her massive guide on the Southwest Companion Pass. She's been on the show here talking about it in the past, so we'll certainly link to some of that stuff as well. But tons of great Southwest stuff. Love the fact that we've got a new card here that can help a bunch of folks potentially get a companion pass for another year. Jen, thanks a bunch for coming on to talk about this. Tell folks where they can find you and more information about Southwest.
Absolutely. So you can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com. And if you just search Southwest or Southwest Companion Pass, you will find a ton of information over the past decade that I've been blogging. You can also find me via Twitter and Facebook, Instagram, anything at dealswelike will bring you to me.
Awesome. Safe travels, Jen. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. We're back to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. I had scheduled for Gary Leff, a few from the wing, to join us to talk about recent changes to the benefits Citi and Amex are offering to their customers. We had some technical issues, but those changes are significant enough, so we still want to make sure we get right-sized and bring you that interview shortly. There are some pretty significant changes to cards that are almost certainly hanging out in your wallet, and I want to make sure everybody knows what those are. In the interim, I want to make sure that you continue to evaluate what's in your wallet. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go through the cards in your wallet, figure out what you're spending on those cards, and if it makes sense, if it aligns with your goals. Are you earning the sort of points that you should be earning for the travel that you want to take? But most importantly, what I want you to do, so you don't forget this, is I want you to set a reminder in your calendar for either 6 months or a year from now. Set it to repeat on that interval and just give yourself a nudge to make sure the cards that you're spending your hard-earned dollars on are actually the ones earning you the right sort of rewards. If you made it this far in the show, that must mean you actually like the show. So tell a friend, please. We love to have you share the show with others. Don't forget, you can always find me on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, all at Pizza in Motion. My email address, if you've got questions or segment suggestions, ed@pizzainmotion.com. And as always, you can find me writing every day at pizzainmotion.com. Thanks again for listening. Big thanks to Summer and Jen for spending time with me, helping to keep you guys informed. And finally, thanks to Mike for his editing. We've still got plenty of great segments to come, including a beginner's guide to cruising, a deep dive into American, Delta, and United with top elites from each of those programs, and a breakdown of what's in a top blogger's wallet. Until we upload again, we've got miles to go.